We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending Royals Baseball this afternoon, 5:10 first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern's on deck show at 4 o'clock, and it is Jordan Lyles on the mound. And if you've been following, you know that in every outing of his, the Royals have lost. That's 12 of them. Now, he's not 0-12.
He pitched well
last time out. But he's 0-9 with a 6.89 ERA. They just don't win when he's on the mound. Maybe that changes today. But
I'm betting on it. Like, actually betting on it.
The seventh time ever in Major League Baseball that a pitcher's first 12 games have resulted in losses when he's been on the bump.
Yeah, that's... When you're approaching Major League Baseball history for worst starts ever, not exactly what you would want. Next up on Watch Trending, MLS club Inter Miami, according to multiple reports, will land Lionel Messi to join the club this year. Now, unfortunately for us, Sporting KC does play Inter Miami, but on the road.
Dang it.
Not there, but according to some of the reports, some of the terms of the deal could include a part ownership of the TV rights deals relating to Apple. As in, he'd get a portion of new subscriptions of people signing up for the app as a result of, well, wanting to watch Lionel Messi actually play. Look, I'm hoping to watch players like this the same as watching like LeBron or Shohei or whoever, right? Just in the prime of their careers. Look, he's not going to be in a prime.
He's definitely not.
But it's still watching Messi.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's a big deal that MLS can still attract these stars. They got to figure out a way to get one of these guys before they're at the very, very end of their career, but their league's a long ways away from that. Still cool that Messi could be heading, or according to reports, will be heading to the MLS.
Yeah, they had to get creative with the deal. You're not going to compete with Barcelona and some of these other major clubs financially. Yeah, and so they're going to be creative with the revenue sharing there. There's talk there. He's also getting a cut of the Adidas deal that the league has.
Yep.
So they're going out of their way, again, because they understand it automatically. We already have seen that ticket sales have gone up in the last couple of hours. Also, every hour, the social media account for Inter Miami has gained something like 10,000 or 100,000 followers already. Because people are interested. They know the name Messi. Maybe they don't like MLS soccer, but they sure as heck know.
And if you're a European soccer fan who loves Messi, you're going to go follow the team he's going to play for in the MLS.
Next up on What's Trending, we talked about this on the show a few days ago. It's now official, though, that Bills quarterback Josh Allen will be featured on the cover of Madden NFL 24. So that was rumored, and that is exactly what's happening. Last year, he set the NFL record for most combined touchdowns, passing, rushing, receiving in a player's first five seasons. He was third in MVP voting. But again, as I told you, I think we've lowered the standard. That's fine. That's fine. Then we just lower the standard.
Okay.
You know, usually
I don't care
it's after
about little things
usually,
anymore. That's a little thing
usually,
now, you know?
Usually it's after Super Bowl wins or appearances or MVPs. Go back and look at the history. Brady, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. That's okay. That's fine. Big win for Buffalo. As someone joked, when you play with Josh Allen, the season ends after the AFC title game. You don't get a go advance.
Mr. January, which I still argue is an insult.
You don't get to join the Super Bowl. You don't get to move on to February.
The other part about this is, like, there was a long time, I think, in Chiefs fandom, for both the Royals and the Chiefs, where you cared about things like all-star snub, Pro Bowl snub, or they're not giving us
definitely
the respect of the kind of team they are. You know the only thing we care about in Kansas City for the Chiefs anymore as it relates to the NFL? Titles. Championships. I don't care about Pro Bowl snubs anymore for the Chiefs.
Well, the Pro Bowl is stupid.
Means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Or Madden covers for that matter. Next up on What's Trending, Rory McIlroy did speak about his relationship with the PGA after he was clearly thrown under the bus by Jay Monahan after the announcement that LIV and the PGA were going to merge as of yesterday. Look, he sounded a little more soft on the subject than I thought he was going to be, but he also didn't pull any punches when it came to Liv.
I still hit Liv. Like, I hit Liv.
I mean, it doesn't
the accent's
anymore.
Great too, by the way.
Oh, when it comes to
love
that,
it, love, it, live. Love it.
When you're coming into that, but look, they're going to have a problem here for a while from an optics perspective. And the biggest thing is that Monahan is one of the biggest hypocrites of all time. He dodged questions. He openly dodged the questions yesterday in multiple interviews about the relationship to the Saudis and this fund. The same things he was incredibly critical of over the last year, including very inflammatory language used in lawsuits, you know, counter lawsuits against Liv at the time. So, I mean, the deal's done.
Yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah.
But I think there's still going to be a lot of hate between these two here for a while. I know time will heal wounds for these two leagues, but still, it's so awkward.
Yeah, one of the biggest surprises and biggest deals we've seen in a very, very long time, considering everything. Lastly on What's Trending, continue to tell you about the third annual Cody and Gold Garage Sale. It's coming up on Tuesday, June 20th. We are getting really, really close to the start of the garage sale. We're continuing. In fact, today we're adding some more experiences and items up on the website, which will be viewable closer to the date. So you guys can't see them yet.
Maybe like a week out.
You'll be able to actually check out some of the items and experiences before this year. So hopefully that helps everybody plan a little bit. And also you won't have to just use Twitter and DM and all that. You'll actually have an auction site this year. We're excited. Some of those experiences, again, include private tour for 10 of the museum with the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, Bob Kendrick. There's also an experience with Bink. Eventually, we think we'll have settled with a brewery in town. We're also experience over at Prairie Bank Casino and Resort in Topeka with the Firekeeper Golf
Course. Our friends
at Rieger.
Obviously supporting the show on Fridays now going forward. We'll also be having something, too.
And then items that you come to expect from the garage sale, right? Some of the randomness for that we find around our house. We're going to have some confetti from on the field of the Super Bowl as well.
I've got some jars already made up.
Yeah, we have that. And then I know the KC Current have donated a prize pack as well. So we're excited. Garage sale coming up in just a couple of weeks, man. Less than 2 weeks away.
Let's figure out whose jar of confetti makes more money.
You
can have
funny.
The Alex Gold jar funny. Of confetti or the Cody Tapp jar of confetti. You decide whose bid goes higher.
It would be funny, actually. I don't know. Yeah, I actually haven't. I don't know if we ended up with the same jar.
Same size jar?
I don't know.
Oh,
mine's like, it's tiny, man.
Mine's not a very big jar.
It's tiny. But either way, it is the actual confetti from the field.
I can prove it via photo if you'd like.
Which we will. We'll include that. Anyway, that's what's trending. But yeah, people will usually have a lot of
interest in those. I maybe have like 15 of them. How many do I need to put in the garage sale? I don't have them claimed for anybody else.
I wouldn't put 15 in there. I think we should list like 5 to 10 of them.
And then maybe some more next year?
Yeah. I mean, I've got 2 bags still full of confetti. So I have enough probably to make, another 10 or 15 jars. Like literally, I've been it is still sitting in the corner, like there's this shelf, and there's just confetti and a bowl of more confetti.
One of the things that Danny Welniak, who now works for the KC Current, she donated, there's 2 types of confetti. There's just a Ziploc bag full of 2020 AFC Championship game confetti in there as well.
Okay.
Just so you know. The Chiefs Red Friday flag from that year. And I've been told, you know, like it's everybody, the second they figure out anybody, you know, like, hey, I got some stuff for you. I'm like, sweet, please. We will take as much money as we can raise for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. There's no doubt about it.
Looking to break a record and raise a record amount of money for the museum. Coming up in about 10 minutes or 20 minutes, excuse me, we'll talk with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, get his thoughts on what we've seen so far in Miami and also the report there from Ken Rosenthal when it comes to what potentially packages could look like with Chapman and Barlow. Do they actually need to be packaged together? What's the better rate of return there? So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But thinking of Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, he's, yes, on the cover of Madden, but also they're the one team that I don't think I'm alone in. This has been pretty common thought, I believe, that maybe they're going to take a step back. Maybe they're a team that if you're looking at the recent contenders in the AFC between the Chiefs, the Bengals, and Bills, certainly the Bills are more likely to slip back. Division's going to be, we think, ultra tough. Rodgers in it now.
Yeah, definitely just got harder with Rodgers.
And for them, they slip. They go from what, a 13-win team, number one seed contender
11-12.
Worst case 10, but 11 or 12. That's probably a likely path considering it's much easier, I think, to fall from a 12 or 13 win team to, well, not a division winner, but just a wild card team. Then who you think should also be included in a conversation of taking a step back?
Yeah, I think that we should be talking about the Chargers the same way. To me, those teams are really similar, except one team has had way more success. Now, you'd be like, well, how are they similar? They have had really similar rosters for 3 consecutive years. They have had really consistent coaching staffs for each of the, you know, same head coach. I understand the offensive coordinator's now changed for both over the course of that time because the Chargers will have a new offensive coordinator. But same guys. It's still Eckler. It's still Williams. It's still, you know, like, it's the same dudes. It's Keenan Allen. It is the same players on defense. It is a nearly identical. It feels like the same team. It feels like the same team that has come up short for the Bills is the same team that has come up short for the Chargers. I'm not sure why they wouldn't be included in this. And I think the hang up we have here is because the Chargers have now gotten better each year, technically, they went 7 wins, then 8 wins, and 9 wins. We're having a hard time imagining them being worse than 9 wins. But I think,
Or
10 wins. I think it is just as likely they win 8 as they win 10. I think that the backslide is coming for that team because I don't think that they've gotten marketably better. And until they probably likely make a head coaching change, if they were to finish with that kind of record, I don't see it. I think the Broncos are more of a challenge for them this year, and I don't think either of those teams is good enough to compete with the Chiefs in the division.
Well, no.
They might win this division by 3 or 4 games again.
Well, again, if you're saying they win 3 by 3 or 4 again, that's still the Chargers won 10 games last year. Like I get what you're saying that the Chargers
doesn't feel the same. Have they changed tangibly to you?
Not all that much, but they don't. To me, there isn't. They don't need to change to still just be a 9 or 10 win team. You know what I mean?
Couldn't you make that same argument with the Bills? They don't need to change that much to be a 13 win team. They've held pretty steady with their win total.
The Bills, I think we would acknowledge, it's much tougher to win 13 games every year than it is to win 10. Like, so do I think it's more likely the Bills would go from, let's say, a 13-win team to a 10-win team? Yeah, I do think that's more likely.
But over the last 3 years, I mean, they've won 12 games on average over the last 3 years.
I mean, it's just more like, I don't know if there's necessarily history for either of our points to back it up. I would just argue
probably
that.
Not.
But, like, if you're winning 14 games on a regular basis, it doesn't take much for you to still be a pretty damn good team, but fall back to an 11-win team. It doesn't take much. Where, to me, you're a 10-win team.
You think it's hard to fall back to 7 or 8.
Because the Chargers
think that anybody who wins between 6 and 10 games is somewhat close.
Well, they're
from a team perspective, and it's not that hard to be down in that range.
Yeah, but
not
if we,
6.
But
I don't think they're a 6-win team. But
if we look at the divisions, though, Ethan, I mean, the Chargers won 10 games last year. The team that won 6 in the division last year were the Raiders, and we all know the Chargers were worlds better than the Las Vegas Raiders last
year.
The Broncos won 5 games. The Chargers were way better. I think in this year's division, the Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs. They're going to win 13, 14 games. The Raiders are going to be worse. They're going to be a 5 or 6 win team. They won 6 last year. The Broncos will be better than a 5 win team. I believe they could potentially be an 8 or 9 win team this year.
I think Peyton's worth a win, and I don't know.
See what happens.
15%
right?
Better.
But they just could not score last year. I mean, it was.
I think they're like a 7-8 win team.
Maybe so. But I think the Chargers just kind of are who they are. They're gonna always fluctuate. Their win total, by the way, is 9.5 over under. They're a 9-11 win team. That's kind of what they are. And the question is, ever can they take the next leap? People have been saying that for years.
But they're not taking the next leap.
They're a 9-11 win football team. That's what they are. They got a really good quarterback. We'll see what Kellen Moore, the OC, can do. But we know they can't stay healthy. And I question Brandon Staley as an actual head coach. Perhaps Kellen Moore unlocks everything, and it's a completely different offense. And here they go. But last year, Joey Bosa played in 5 games. J.C. Jackson, their big offseason acquisition, played in 5. They're going to have injuries. The question is, does it happen to those two guys in particular? Because those were 2 major losses for their defense. And you're going to say, well, they'll have injuries. I agree with you, which is why they're going to just be what they've been, man. They're going to be like a 10-win football team again.
I have a hard time. Do you think it's more likely to take a step back or forward?
Forward.
Like, let's say
forward.
You think it's more likely they're like a 12 or 13 win team than 8.
Yep.
Man,
I
would feel the same way if I asked you about the Bills.
We're basing it too much off of what we've always just had.
I really just don't think their roster's changed enough.
We're just basing it on a roster, then actually, see, that's always been the issue. We've all acknowledged the roster's actually pretty damn good. They just always underachieve.
It's gotten older.
The roster actually is still a top 5, top 6 roster in the AFC. They just never are a top 5 team in the AFC. The roster's not the problem. It goes down to like the injury stuff and the coaching. If we're just going to say, well, roster-wise, and we just analyze them from roster only, then
the
it's even
part,
more
though,
optimistic.
If we talk with the other two things, I mean, what are the odds? Like, Staley's just going to wake up this morning and be like, I'm a better coach now.
Right, which is why I'm not telling you they're going to win 12. But between the two, I don't think Justin Herbert, with the talent on that roster, they're going to suddenly be a 7 or 8 win football team.
Nick, just out of curiosity, do you think it's more likely that the Chargers win 13 games or only win like 7 or 8?
I would say 13.
God, so I really am on an island on this one.
Well, I don't know if you're on an island. I mean, just on this show, I guess you are.
If you're making me choose between those two options, like, I don't think either of those are going to happen.
Well, because, like, I'd make the same argument for the Bills. The Bills have been, on average, a 12-win team over the last 3 years. Do you think it's more likely the Bills win 14 or win 10?
14.
Probably 14. I mean,
Cody, like, the big thing here, and I'm not breaking any news to you, is my ultimate deciding factor is going to be who do you have at quarterback, and both of those teams you just mentioned have a top five quarterback.
But we also understand that backslides do happen every year in the NFL, even with teams with good quarterback play.
But I would rather rely on that than look at any other aspect of it. Like, yeah. If you just told me,
like, if you just boil it down to a simple thing, Justin Herbert and Josh Allen are really good, so why would
turns out, based off my research, that quarterback play and team success, there's a high correlation there.
You can confirm that? Official Nick Schwartz research.
I've crunched the numbers, and it's official.
Oh, man. The Chargers, thank God for them, because they have just been squandering Justin Herbert's talent.
I'll tell you what, the Chargers could disrupt that theory a little bit.
They're trying really hard.
They are trying really
hard. They're an average of a 9-win team, and they have a top 3 quarterback in the NFL, 4 quarterback in the NFL.
Like,
they can't
get
anywhere.
You know, the age-old adage is the hardest thing to get in the NFL is a franchise quarterback. The Chargers are like doing this experiment of what if we had
back-to-back Hall of Famers and won nothing.
What if we had a great quarterback but then sucked at everything else? What would happen?
Is Philip Rivers going to be in the Hall of Fame? I said that flippantly, and then I was like, I don't know if Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. It feels like somehow he'll get in just because of counting numbers.
He certainly won't be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but one day down the road, I actually do think he'll end up getting in.
That'd be really embarrassing to have back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks and never win anything. That'd be incredibly embarrassing. I couldn't imagine. I don't feel bad for the Chargers.
Well, no.
Is that the sentiment you're getting from us?
Yeah. No, they're just, I mean, again, we're talking about
they're stuck in mediocrity.
Yeah, that's what they are. 10-win team. Like, I would lock in 10 wins for right now.
Hey, are you guys surprised to find out how bad they were on offense last year, the Chargers?
Guys,
that's the other part. They're like 13th.
Herbert was throwing to... What's his name? Guyton and all.
Parnum Jr.
Jalen Guyton. Who is the last team that you guys can remember that had a quarterback that we perceived to be in that elite tier that just never really had the team?
The Denver Broncos, probably, with Russell Wilson.
No, sustained.
I know
what
you're saying.
Year over year. Like, we went 3 or 4 years, and we're like, this guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but they just never won at a high level. They never looked like one of the best teams in the NFL.
God, I'm going to really think about this.
Like,
now.
That's hard to do.
Consistently not perform? Because that's the tough part. I could pin a year, right?
Sure.
Like, I could find a year where the Packers underperformed for the most part. They were a consistent performer for 10 consecutive years. But it's like,
I know you want to even say the Chargers with Phillip Rivers, but like, there were stretches.
Carson Palmer!
Where they were winning division titles with LaDainian Tomlinson, and they were going to, you know, AFC championship games.
Carson
with the
Palmer?
Patriots.
He was largely considered one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL for a number of years, and they didn't do anything.
Yeah, a lot of people on the text line are already saying Dan Marino. He obviously didn't win the Super Bowl.
I mean, that's going back pretty far,
but the Dolphins were a good... Like,
yeah, you're saying that top five, top 10 quarterback, but the team just not making the playoffs consistently.
The team's just like fighting for a playoff spot every year.
Is there an answer to that? That, hey, we consistently top 10 quarterback and went 4 years in a row without making the
playoffs?
For the
longest time, I thought Dak was a top 10 quarterback, and they haven't really done anything, but they still make the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're winning, you know, 10-plus, 11-plus games.
Yeah.
They still compete.
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Someone said Matt Ryan. Well, Matt Ryan went to a Super Bowl, guys.
And won an MVP.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. And they weren't the Falcons weren't winning 4 games a year with Matt Ryan at majority of his career. They were a playoff team majority of his career, fringe playoff team.
Somebody mentioned Jay Cutler, but I don't know if Jay Cutler was ever in that echelon. Like,
he was
never
a top 10 quarterback for a while, but he was like fringe top 10. You know, he was like
a lot
back
of
into
interceptions.
Was it more than just 2 years in a row where we ever thought, like, did we think for 4 straight years he was a top 10 quarterback? No, it was probably like
Year stretch, probably. That was it.
Someone says Jim Kelly.
And then Josh McDaniels ruined his career. Like,
Jim Kelly went to 4 Super Bowls. I know
he accomplished plenty.
Yeah, Jimmy. I get what you're saying.
Jim Kelly was. The Bills were.
We're saying. I get what you're saying on the text line. You're saying didn't win the big one, but was a great quarterback. We're just saying, like, you as a top 10 guy and just wasn't.
And their team just wins 7 games a year. The answer is no.
For the record, the Chargers in their current state would kill. Would give up everything they had to have a run like Jim Kelly and the Bills had in the early 90s.
It was actually a pretty decent one up prior to him winning a ring with the Rams. Stafford and the Lions.
Yep.
That's actually a decent answer. Because I know
that is very good.
He put up big-time numbers and I think kind of proved it also right away once he went to the Rams that he was actually a pretty damn good quarterback. He just was on a terrible team.
Text line also mentioned Deshaun Watson in Houston. It wasn't that long of a time, but that's, I mean,
it's a pretty good answer.
It's a pretty good answer, especially the last year where it's like he's a top
It's so hard to look at his career in any other way now because it went so weird.
But
went so bad.
I don't know if I agree with the Deshaun Watson one. They, remember, even though we make fun of Bill O'Brien and everything, they were winning the division consistently in the AFC South.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's not like I'm saying just because I think the Chargers take a step back this year that I don't think that they'll be a 10-win team next year. We're talking about a one-year sample size of a drop back. We're not saying the Bills can't win. If they win 11 games this year, they can't win 13 next year.
I think also the Bills conversation, more than even the win total, it's when people are talking about them taking a step back, it's more like, are they actually a Super Bowl contender still? Is there a chance that they're going to be surpassed by the Jets and the Ravens or whatever? Whereas
whoever,
the Chargers, they're not going from Super Bowl contender to dropping back. We're talking about, are they going from a wild card team to not being a wild card team? Someone says Lamar Jackson.
A lot of them are a lot like what Justin Herbert's doing now. It's Andrew Luck, right? It's not that you never make the postseason. It's not that there's no team success, but it's also just like he had 10-6 seasons. He had 8-7 seasons to go with his 11-5 seasons, right? Like, and if you're talking about that, then that's kind of like, that's where it feels like they're stuck right now. Everyone largely considered Andrew Luck a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, and rightfully so during that stretch. But, they didn't really, like, they made some postseason runs, but they hit an absolute hard cap of like 10, 11 wins. And it feels like the Chargers are like gearing up to that. That there's a hard cap of wins. They don't have some extra gear they're getting ready to press into, which is why I think it's just as likely they go back. Now we'll see. And I mean, obviously this division, we don't think about it the same way that we felt going into last year.
Not
because
at all.
There's
Not
one
at
absolute
all.
Joke, and I don't fear Denver even if they get better. The only team even worth caring about is the Chargers, and I just think they still
There's always surprises, but it does feel like you could lay out 1 through 4 in the division, and it's hard to argue saying Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders.
It feels like the surprise are going to be somewhere
exact
else.
Order to of finish, and yeah, maybe maybe there is going to be much better play out of somebody in the division than we expected, but I just would be pretty surprised.
No. Probably where you're stuck, one way or the other. Someone's also mentioning Derek Carr. It's like, oh God,
he was just outside the top 10.
In that club, but looking outside that club.
I actually still think he's gonna have a great year down in New Orleans, though. I know we're not talking about the Saints, but I think he's gonna have a fantastic year in New Orleans. I love the Saints, like over their win total.
This
I like
the second
Saints
year in a row you've
like
loved the Saints, and I hated them last year, and I'm gonna go right back to the well. Their head coaching situation stinks. Dennis Allen is a bad head coach, and there's many years.
They only
now
lost the tiebreaker.
Otherwise.
They finished with the same crappy record as the team that actually made it to the postseason out of that division, essentially. That division was so bad. They all had like 7 wins last year.
He sounds got like
that's
a
terrible.
300 career winning percentage in 4 NFL seasons. He's bad.
Yeah. The division still sucks, and there's no Tom Brady. Derek Carr's the best quarterback in that division by far.
That's got to feel good for Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a really good year.
By far. It's probably accurate.
Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield's battling with Kyle Trask for the job in Tampa. You got a rookie
Bryce Young's the best quarterback. But
he's a rookie. We don't know a thing about him yet, man.
Disrespectful
Derek Carr. Derek Carr is, Derek Carr is the best quarterback in that division.
Who's the fourth one?
Desmond Ritter's horrific.
Oh, he's the worst.
I think he sucks.
No, Baker's the worst.
What if he's the truth, though? Have you considered that?
Then he doesn't suck.
What if Desmond Ritter's him?
He could be him.
Then what?
Have we done an X-ray? Has Desmond Ritter underwent an X-ray?
I'm not sure. Why don't you go do some research and tweet that out? Yeah, please do that. See if you can find that exact X-ray. Desmond Ritter's ribs.
The only way to talk about those things anymore is if we talk about them with players who have no business being discussed in this conversation, like Desmond Ritter. You sending out the X-ray, like just Desmond Ritter makes one good training camp pass and then immediately sending out the X-ray of the dogs inside his chest. The only way to do this meme correctly now.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk to our guy Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He'll be on the air a little bit later this afternoon. I want to get his thoughts on the report from Ken Rosenthal that suggests that the Royals could package a couple relievers together. Is that the right move? Next. All right, back here on Cody and Gold. We were looking during the break. Not a good time to be Zion Williamson. Whoops. Getting caught up.
He's got some Snapchat receipts.
Multiple women
aren't great.
Aren't happy with his recent photo of a gender reveal that he had with his girlfriend somebody.
I haven't seen this. Can you guys just explain it to the audience?
Is there any way to explain this?
Quick summary,
you can't read any of the text.
No, but the quick summary is Zion Williamson of the New Orleans Pelicans recently put out a gender reveal video with girlfriend, I think.
Girlfriend, I think is what the headline
said. He's all happy, obviously, and it generated a response from a couple other women on Twitter that are very upset that he...
And have some evidence to support that what they're claiming is true. And then is also upset that, you know, they helped him get in shape.
Through various methods.
And
you guys are insinuating,
and they're not seeing some of the, you know, reward of this.
You guys are insinuating that perhaps Zion Williamson is not being faithful.
Yes, yes, it turns out. It turns out. But the screenshots of all the snaps are not a great look for him, because they're now tweeting out all his Snapchats to them, and it's not a great look.
Airing of dirty laundry, if you will.
Yeah. So it's not a good time to be one Zion Williamson.
So please enjoy that rabbit hole that we just sent you down.
During the break, that's all Cody and I were searching. It's I wish we could read them. You can do it yourself, though, on Twitter if you need to. We'll get to the random question of the day coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But let's talk some Royals baseball with our guy, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He'll be on the air a little bit later on this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Royals taking on the Marlins. They moved up the start time of that game due to the NBA Finals going on. And Jordan Lyles on the mound tonight. And
well, hang on. Just tell me one of the snaps.
Oh, boy. Let me pull this back.
How did they get him in shape?
She said that she let him have sex with her a lot of different ways in order to help get him in shape.
Yeah.
And that he should
nutrition.
No. She wasn't like cooking him home cooked meals. It was going the other way for her.
She let him do a lot of different
recipes.
a lot of different things, Vern, what she allowed him to do, it turns out. And she, if you want the details, you can check that out for yourself.
No, that's okay.
Yep.
All right. I was in a different place.
By the way, has anyone ever tried that with like, I'm really trying to, you want me to get in better shape? I have a great solution. Problem solved for everybody.
She said that she tried to motivate him, and she told him that he can be the next LeBron James. She was all in, and then she was hurt. She just got crushed.
Well, that's too bad. Best of luck to Zion. Hope to see him on the court soon.
Yeah. Anyway.
Jordan Lyles. Let's talk about Jordan Lyles.
Yeah,
he's still planning that party for when he picks up his win?
Well, Cody's hoping. He already spoiled one of your segments on your pregame show. I just want you to know.
I only spoiled half of it.
Yeah.
Really a quarter of it when you consider that Vern's the other half.
Because he already told us that he's going to bet on the Royals to win, even though Jordan Lyles, we know the Royals are 0-12 when he steps out
on
the
mound. It's got to end. Not going to last forever.
I mean, it doesn't have to end, but I get what you're saying.
It will eventually end.
I mean, it doesn't, but there's nothing that says it has to.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
That's accurate.
You're right.
You know, roulette wheel, it can be black 100 times in a row. There's nothing saying it has to flip to red, even though we all know eventually it might.
Yeah, well, and if the defense continues to boot everything that they get hit to them, Jordan Lyles might not control the outcome tonight, much like Zach Greinke didn't control the outcome last night.
True.
Sure did bring out some pretty entertaining phone calls, though, last night. A lot of reaction, which was very surprising and made me feel very nice. But a lot of people dialed in on a Tuesday cracking jokes about this Royals defense, including frying pan hands Edward Olivares.
Is it just that they're bad defensive players, and that's what we should expect going forward, Vern, or is it, it's the yips. They are all in their head about how bad they are as a team, and now defensively, it has completely seeped its way onto this roster, and therefore, no one can play solid defense.
Well, it's certainly a little bit of both, but I think it's a case-by-case basis. I'd say with Edward Olivares, it's 75-25. He's just a bad defender. With MJ Melendez, I'd say it's 60-40, he's still learning. He's a bad outfielder. The issue with MJ right now is he's not hitting for enough power to offset the step backwards that you knew you were going to take defensively when you put a catcher in the corner outfield. And then Bobby Witt Jr., I want to say it's 50-50. I want to say it's partially the yips, partially... hey, we got to score 8 runs every single night if we want a chance to win, and I got to play airtight defense. That's a lot of pressure for a guy. It's still a week away from his 23rd birthday. I wish I was more certain that the want to was causing the errors for Bobby Witt Jr., but last night it wasn't an error. It was a mental error. And again, maybe that is him pressing out there, or maybe it's reflective of a terrific athlete that maybe would be better suited in center field or at third base, at a spot where you're not making such critical bang-bang decisions like you are at least 3 to 6 times every night at shortstop. That decision that he made last night to flip the ball underhanded to third base to try to get the lead runner drifting a little too far off of the bag. Second time he's done something similar to that this season. I thought he learned from it in early April. But that's disappointing because you know he's a smart baseball mind. You know he has a high baseball IQ. He's just, that was a dumb decision last night. And my shortstop can't be making dumb decisions. It's
kind of why I think it's mental. Like, I mean, he got picked off on a pop-up in the infield the other day. I mean, to me, I think he's just in his head.
He stood up and owned. He owned it in a way that, Cody, you've been around a lot of big leaguers. Gold, you have as well. Man, I remember Mike Moustakas. A lot of those champions didn't handle failure as well as Bobby Witt Jr. is. And knowing how much pressure's on Bobby's shoulders, said it before, he doesn't have the Eric Hosmer along with his Mike Moustakas. They don't have that A and 1A. It's Bobby, and then everyone is a very distant second, third. It's all on his shoulders. Every single day, top of the lineup, one or two, premium position. Everyone's focusing on your talents and your subpar performance thus far in your career. I'll give him credit. He took that entire loss back on Saturday, said it's all on me. I was impressed with the leadership that he showed after that game.
We're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We know over the next couple weeks there'll probably start to be some more noise around the trade market. Ken Rosenthal had a report that, not surprisingly, as they should, the Royals are open for business, but he also noted that Aroldis Chapman and Scott Barlow are available and may be included in the same trade package. I think it was you maybe a year ago, you had mentioned we were discussing Andrew Benintendi and how maybe, you know, package Scott Barlow with Benintendi as well and try to get as much as possible. Is that the path that you think they should go down as well here with Chapman and Barlow?
If you can, right? The return would be much larger if you can package them together. But if I'm a team and I like my bullpen but don't necessarily love it, I could convince myself that Aroldis Chapman is enough, and we can part with, you know, a A-ball prospect, a double-A prospect for 2 months of Aroldis Chapman. But JJ and his front office are doing what they should be doing, and that is making presentations to other teams, not sitting there waiting for them to call Kansas City. They're prepared with packages of Chapman and Salvi, Chapman and Barlow, and of course, if you can dump Salvi's contract, if you can clear up some space to maybe go out and make the type of moves that this team needs to compete next season, to bring in the type of pitching that this organization right now needs, yeah, I'm all for it. To me, the biggest takeaway from what Ken Rosenthal said, and I think we would all agree that Ken Rosenthal, Jeff Passan, probably the two best baseball writers, reporters, in the country, when Rosenthal acknowledges that, yeah, the Royals are putting Salvi's name out there, we've been talking about it here locally for months now. I'm wondering if Royals fans are now truly starting to come to grips with the idea that Salvi could be in another uniform by the end of next season. Not even talking about this year. That's going to be tough for people to swallow. But you better start coming to terms with the idea that he could be elsewhere this time next year or by the end of next season.
When Rosenthal in that article is talking about, you know, like, hey, you know, and if you take some of their money away, then the Royals are even more open to that. I guess I just assumed that that was about Jordan Lyles. Do the Royals view the Salvador Perez contract as a bad one? I guess in the regard that is, it keeps them from doing other things. Because obviously his play versus his pay is not that bad.
Yeah, no doubt. No, he's
getting that.
Without questions. Now, is he $20 million? Maybe. If he wasn't Salvi, right? If he wasn't the great number 13 and the future Royals Hall of Famer and the World Series MVP, I don't know if he's worth $20, $22 million. I think he's really only worth that here in Kansas City. That, in my opinion, they can't give him away in a money dump, but they certainly want to dump that money. He's taken up, you know, 20% of this team's salary this year, next year, the year after that. If they could, dole out that money to three plus other players, they would much prefer to do that. Because again, for as much as we want them to step on the gas pedal and spend big money, they're not going to do that until, A, this evaluation season is complete. And if this evaluation season proves that these young hitters are the winners that they need to be, that Singer and Lynch can at least come alongside free agent pitching. They would love to get out of that contract. They would love to get rid of that money.
When you said that maybe prepare Royals fans for this time next year at the end of next season, is that because other teams may look at the money differently, or do you think the Royals just also aren't ready to do it this year?
I think it's easier to trade someone like Salvador Perez, a catcher, easier to trade a catcher to have him learn your pitching staff throughout spring training.
Gotcha.
Easier done in the offseason. That's why I say that.
And that would mean MJ Melendez is a catcher again? I'm asking because, like, Vern, sometimes it's like when you're trying to make all these young players fit at the same time. It's like moving MJ, we both know that he has better value because we wouldn't care as much if he's hitting 220 with a 320 on base if he's catching. He has more value if he's doing those two things.
Yes. And he was catching well earlier this season. Would a trade of Salvador Perez put MJ back behind the dish? If it happens in the offseason, I would think so. If it happened this year at the trade deadline, I think MJ stays where he is. And, you know, Freddie Fermin gets some starts because we're already punting on this season. And then you sign your, you know, whoever's the Martin Maldonado of this upcoming offseason, whoever that veteran solid receiver is, you bring him in to help stabilize the pitching staff. That's how I would handle it. Him to go alongside MJ Melendez, who would be the catcher maybe on opening day next year. But I think MJ's staying in the corner outfield for the rest of this season.
Hey, Vern, Greinke had said he wants to pitch as long as he's effective. He's been effective for like 7 consecutive starts. Is Zach Greinke just going to be a Royal again in 2024?
I certainly hope so.
They need him, I think.
Yeah, listen, he can do whatever he wants. He just continues to impress me. I'm waiting for the drop-off, waiting for him to look my age, right? We're the same age, and he refuses to do so. He should have gone 5 innings of, you know, 2-run baseball last night. You know, he's given the team a chance to win at all but one of his starts this season. Now, statistically, he's this team's best starting pitcher. I'll still say Brady's the number one. He's looking more and more like Brady Singer. But the numbers say Greinke, the 39-year-old's your best pitcher, and Salvi, the 33-year-old's your best player, period.
Lastly, Vern, the Whit Merrifield suitcase from a year ago, as you probably know by now, is missing.
Yeah.
Have you seen it at all?
No, but I haven't seen it, but at last I saw Cody.
It keeps coming back to him.
Right. He was doing something. It was in his car the last time I saw it.
Hmm.
What do you mean it was in my car? When I was leaving the stadium when I got it last year?
Hmm. We'll let that just sit there. Thank you, Vern. Appreciate the insight. That's Josh Vern,
your
Royals insider. Huh. In your car.
I am shocked the amount of people that are willing to lie. You know? For such little reason, like accusing me of this crime.
You want us to believe that 10 different people are lying, but you're the only one telling the truth?
Cody, if I were in your position, can I just give you a little piece of advice?
Yeah.
If I were in your position and I felt like everyone's attacking me and I'm thinking, why does everybody want to level accusations against me?
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably look inward. What is it about me that makes everyone else think that I am the guilty party here? What is it about me? Or is the world just out to get you, right? Is it the world versus Cody? Or maybe is there something you're doing that is bringing this about?
I think the world's against me.
Okay, there we go. And we have that settled.
Everybody's out to get you, huh?
On this one, yes. All the time, maybe not. But, you know, for this time, yes.
And that's a good way to live your life, too. Right? Never take ownership of your situation. Just always blame it on outside influences.
This is like I was going back to the GM.
That's good for your soul.
Versus just admitting. Look, I'll admit one thing about this. You ready? I should have done a better job securing the suitcase. That is on me.
We're getting okay.
I should have made sure that it had better security around it than I did.
What is it? The first step is acceptance or admittance?
I allowed it to be stolen by not protecting it the way it deserved to be protected. Hmm. But I did not steal it. That was somebody else. And that criminal is still on the loose. They might get away with this as long as Chiefsaholic at this point. They may never be caught. They may be one of the single greatest criminals in this country's history.
Maybe they'll end up on the most wanted list right next to him.
Yep.
Right next to Chiefsaholic. Whoever stole this suitcase is going to end up on that exact same list of Chiefsaholic. He was five? Four? Where was he?
Well, he was five.
He was five. Okay.
We just received a new one, as a matter of fact.
What?
A new most wanted list.
Okay. Chiefsaholic's moved up?
Nope. He has stayed just there. You are now number four.
Why am I on a list? I'm the most wanted list.
I think Nick has a copy of it as well. We were just sent this.
I can go to the site.
It still has the same 1, 2, 3, but 4, it lists Cody Tapp.
Can I see this, please?
Yeah, it has the same date of birth. Is your date? Let me ask you, what's your date of birth? Is it September 1st, 1984?
I don't know. Yes?
You don't know.
Yes,
and it says theft and tampering is
Jackson County, Missouri.
It does say Jackson County.
Tampering?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. Jackson County, they must be thinking it's Royals property. Must be what they're thinking.
Interesting.
Because you don't live in Jackson County anymore.
No, but the Royals currently reside in Jackson County, so they must be viewing it that way.
But it's the Greater Kansas City Crime Stoppers Most Wanted. You are now number four. You're ahead of Chiefsaholic.
Congratulations, Cody. You made the top five.
It's not something to be congratulated for. And also, I think that probably was Photoshopped. I don't want to say for sure, but something tells me that's probably not a real
Everything's
image.
Everything's fake news to you, huh?
You know who else claimed everything was fake news?
Who?
You know.
Let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For your gold, for you, Nick, over the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. We're going to go one way, but I'm going to save the one you put in there for tomorrow because I have a different question that we were briefly discussing before the show, and I want to know if I'm alone on this. At what stage are you unwilling to learn a new life skill that you think might come in handy occasionally? So, Nick and I were talking, and I recently needed to use a truck. About a month ago, 2 months ago, I needed to borrow a truck so that I could move some stuff. My father-in-law has a truck. I'd never driven it, but he has a truck. And so I was like, hey, can I use a truck? So, sure. Leaves the key, get into the car. It's a clutch. Drives a stick. I hadn't driven a stick in 15 years, maybe more, but probably around there. 15 years before I had driven a stick. And I had a good, solid, I would say, 5-minute moment in the car where I'm like, can I do this? Can I drive this? Am I capable of driving this car right now as someone who hasn't driven a stick in 15 years? And I did it. It was a bit dicey all the way to the location. Then on the way back, much better. I've since driven it 2 more times, and I feel like I'm proud to say I can drive a stick again. Nick said he's never going to learn stick ever again.
Why would I need to?
Are there things? Why not? You might need it.
I would
learn. Are you saying that there's a point in your life where you're just like, I'm never going to learn a new thing? You're an old dog, learns new tricks?
Explain to me how it is. Like, it's like telling me, oh, you're never going to learn how to read a sundial? No. I don't think it's ever going to come up.
What would you have done in that situation? Would you just be like, well, I can't drive this. This is no good.
Yes.
And that's what I do now. I don't know how to drive a manual either.
If somebody hands me a piece of Chinese literature, I say, sorry, can't read this.
The only way I'm probably ever going...
But you can learn.
The only way I'm probably ever going to learn to drive a manual, if you told me...
You try to learn German.
Somehow a very nice sports car ended up in something I would actually be able to drive, then I would learn. But like just for the random one-off, I'm not... No, I'm not against learning for it, but I have no reason... To Nick's point a little bit, unless all of a sudden Nick was gifted a very nice sports car that's manual, I don't think Nick feels like there's probably much of a reason to learn either.
Like this person, I rode a bike in Florida for the first time in 10 years. It was sketchy as hell.
The only time
Last time you rode a bike?
A couple months
ago. But I feel like after a minute, you get like 30 seconds, you get your balance figured out.
But that's how I kind of felt with the stick, right? It was a bit dicey for the first few roads, but after a while, it's like, have you ever driven a stick?
Nope.
Well, that's a different problem. So I have at least driven one. Nick, have you ever driven a manual?
No.
Okay, I think that that's the difference. I think if you'd ever done it at any stage, you would have been like, I can sort this.
I think with the scenario you played out, like if I'm an old, if I'm retired and I decide to treat myself and I buy an old 1967 Corvette or whatever, I'd be like, okay, I have this awesome toy. I want to be able to drive this thing around town. Then maybe I would learn stick. But, like, that's such a specific scenario. So,
like, a friend of mine got, like, she got a classic car not that long ago. And she was like, you could drive it? I was like, I don't think that, till I drive a stick again, I don't think I want to drive a very nice car.
Now we're getting specific scenarios on the text line, 913-586-7610. So what if you and a buddy got mauled by a bear in the woods? And the only way to get out is driving a stick shift.
I guess you're just going to get mauled.
Someone else says, yeah, imagine a situation where nobody else could drive. Someone needs to be rushed to the hospital.
Do you think you could figure it out? Like, if I put you in the parking lot right now and I gave you 20 minutes.
No. And by the way, in that situation, you know what would happen?
Nick, I bet you could after 20 minutes. It wouldn't be pretty. You'd stall it out a few times, but I bet you could figure it out.
But you know what would happen in that scenario of, like, somebody needs to be rushed to the hospital and I jump in the car? I would just berate the person for having a manual car, and then I would start screaming, his blood's on your hand. He's going to die because you have a manual car. This is not my fault.
Because you refuse to get an automatic? Some people like it, Nick. There's nothing wrong with it. I drive an automatic. Or I would drive a manual car, and I don't care.
See, I would
just
never,
not the one I've had.
Personally, unless we're talking about a much higher end sports car, if I'm just buying what is considered just a normal vehicle, I'm not buying a manual. No, no chance.
Just dude would never. No. You'd never even consider it. No. It was like a cool modern car, like a
Lamborghini,
2016 Audi or something. You wouldn't?
I mean, if you told me there was a brand new Audi and I had the financial means to afford it, I would probably say I can just pay for the automatic version, too.
Yeah, that's what Kobe Bryant did when he bought his wife a Ferrari after he cheated on her. He, bought her a Lamborghini, actually, I think it was, he made them make it automatic.
He's like, I don't want it manual. Just let her drive it like normal.
Yeah, you know what? Because he's like, oh, you got me a new car? I don't know how to drive it. So it's useless to me.
I just think that it's not, you know. I feel like if it's a skill you already had, I don't think it hurts to be like, oh, I guess I'll figure this out. Because, like, Nick, eventually, or either of you guys might, like, work on a house. If you don't know how to do something, I assume you'll try to figure it out rather than hire somebody for all of it.
No, I mean, there's TaskRabbit. There's different apps. You
know? Contractors.
Yeah. I like to stimulate my local economy.
That's right.
I like to do stuff myself with my hands. Work like an American man, you know? It's different. Not like you do.
Yeah, okay.
Get that,
you know, the funniest thing about that is that I know you do like a lot of tasks around your house. Like you just built a fence last weekend, didn't you?
Yep.
The funniest thing, and don't take this the wrong way, Cody, but like just aesthetically, you don't look like the type of guy who's really handy, you know? And I think you would agree with that, right?
Yeah. I think if you just looked at me on the street, you'd be like, that guy definitely hires someone to do these things.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't. So that should count for something.
Right.
I'm the only member of the show who can drive a 6-speed. I'm the only one who can fix the fence.
You're breaking stereotypes.
You know, one day at a time. People who look like me should be allowed to fix things and drive cars with stick shifts.
And how would you describe your look? Just to round this conversation out.
Like I was the fourth member of Weezer who got kicked out.
All right. Yeah. All right. That's pretty good, actually.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That is the random question of the day. Coming up next, though, not only will we talk a bit more about the LIV Golf Tour and the latest on that, but also what's happening around the country when it comes to stadium projects. And Cody thinks maybe it's getting more challenging. That's next.
Cody. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.